This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Grow or else. Bigger is better. More, more, more. That is the mantra of corporate America, right? The answer is, yeah, mostly that's right. But today's big is nothing like the big of 50 years ago. At least today's big conglomerates make some sense, synergy-wise. Think Disney owning Pixar, for instance. But if you think back, you realize quickly that bigger hasn't always been better. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner wraps up our series, The Price of Profits, for today.
Imagine a company that began by making car bumpers, buying a Hollywood movie studio. Crazy, right? But that's how a corporation called Gulf and Western started in the late 1950s. Over the next few decades, Gulf and Western bought not only Paramount Studios, but companies that mined zinc, grew sugar, made chemicals, cigars, R&B records, mattresses, and caskets. And why not throw in a beauty pageant, too?
We have Miss Italy, we have Miss Puerto Rico, and we have Miss Philippines!
So what did Miss Universe have to do with auto parts? Nothing. But antitrust law made it hard to buy companies in your own industry, says Jerry Davis, author of The Vanishing American Corporation.
And so if you have cash on hand and you want to grow, what are the other options? Well, buying growth can help.
There were personal incentives to buy growth, too. In those days, CEO salaries were often tied more to the size of a company than to its performance.
And so you could arguably raise your salary by making the company really big.
And snag a spot on the coveted Fortune 500, a ranking of companies solely by total revenues. New York-based money manager Mario Gabelli analyzed conglomerates at his first Wall Street job in the 1960s.
You basically bought a company, your stock was at 10 times cash flow, you bought somebody at 4 times cash flow, you immediately added to your earnings, the street loved you, you would report higher earnings, and your stock would go up.
Which allowed you to buy more companies. Armed with a high stock price and the magic of accounting, conglomerates became the hottest stocks of the 1960s. Jeffrey Madrick is author of The Age of Greed.
It was another example of Wall Street fooling itself and fooling its investors. They bought the myth.
The myth, Madrick argues, was synergy, that somehow the acquired companies would grow much faster together under the eye of one hard-charging CEO, like Charles Bluedorn at Gulf and Western. He knew nothing about filmmaking, but meddled anyway in Paramount classics like The Godfather.
These people had immense egos and immense ambition, and they could use the financial system to develop their little companies into giants with enormous power.
But when profits and the stock market began to fall in the late 60s, the conglomerates were exposed. As the economy weakened, it became clear to Wall Street that these once powerful companies were built more on clever accounting than dynamic businesses. James Schrager at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business says Wall Street adopted a new mantra, focus equals power.
And the conglomerates famously had no focus.
Frustrated investors knew the conglomerates' parts were worth more than the whole. They pushed CEOs and boards to raise stock prices. The corporate raiders of the 80s weren't subtle about it. They staged hostile takeovers of undervalued companies, sold off assets, and reaped the profits.
There's just never been anything like it in American history. A third of the biggest corporations disappearing, mostly due to hostile takeovers, very often of conglomerates.
Some conglomerates broke themselves up before somebody else did. In the early 80s, Bluedorn's successor sold off more than 50 companies and restructured Gulf and Western into the more narrowly focused Paramount Communications. CEO Martin Davis told Wall Street his main purpose was to, quote, produce the greatest possible value to shareholders. When Davis eventually sold the company, Viacom bid well over 4 times the value of Gulf and Western a decade earlier. It was an offer the shareholders couldn't refuse. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.